Shall I show you what we could do?
Let's do a little circle here, Matt. I'll show you what we could do. We could say, we could put our hands out like this. We could say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. Put your hands together like this, your arms. Keep, like you're keeping something close to your body. Keep you. Show us. And make his face go like this. Like a face. Shine upon you and give you his peace. Shall we try that to them? And then they will do it back to us. Okay, are we ready, congregation? They're all watching, and we're going to pray a blessing. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord keep you. Hug yourself tight. Keep you. That's how God will keep you. And give you his peace. And now we say together, what do you think we're going to say at the end? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now they're going to say it back to us. Let's pay attention now. Here they go. May the Lord
bless you
and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Cool? Now you can go to your rooms. Now I think that we can come to Jesus in prayer. Will you join me? Ascended Jesus, we joyfully come to you on this glorious morning, expressing our adoration by using the words of a beautiful song of Francesca Battistelli. You are the King of everything, the one who taught the wind to sing, the source of the rhythm that our hearts keep beating. Author of our hope, maker of the stars, let us be your works of art. Won't you write your story on our hearts? Father, when we watch the news this week, we couldn't help but think about war and pain and a need for peace. This Memorial Day weekend especially, we recognize and give thanks for those who interrupted their civilian lives to serve in the military. Some served in peacetime and many others served during wartime. We think about the families left behind who were forever changed by the call to duty. Often when loved ones returned home, they were wounded, they were tormented, or brought back in a box. Yes, Lord, the price of fighting against injustice is great. In order to get peace, we often have to wage war, which does not come without pain. Do we do the very same thing with you, Lord? Do we wage war against you when we resist following your will? Often we follow our own selfish decisions and desires. We don't consult you. And then we find that rather than peace, we end up in war. War with a coworker. War with our spouse. War with a friend. Or war within ourselves. It's not peaceful at all. In fact, it often brings pain. And more pain. Help us today to recognize our unhealthy patterns of leaving you out of our everyday lives, of leaving you out of our everyday decisions. As we talk to you about pain,
We think of physical or emotional pain that some right here and now are experiencing. Take it away, Lord. Replace it with peace, with joy, with freedom, and faithfulness. We praise you and we thank you for visible evidence of all types of pain removal written within this very family that's gathered here today. In fact, we want to silently take time right now to think about how peace has replaced our pain in the recent past. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us today. May we empty ourselves of junk and distraction so that your words through Pastor Henry will fall deep into our souls. Guide him as he explains to us the way we can have peace and have it in every aspect of our everyday lives. Now, Father, using Francesca's words again, may we show this world what you've done in us. And when the music fades, may our lives say, we let you in to make your mark. We let you write your story on our hearts.
Turn our attention to God's Word to us this morning. And if you need a Bible, there's a stack of Bibles on a table right back here. I invite you to get up right now and go get one. While you're doing that, I want to just a few brief announcements. First, I forgot to introduce Jessica. Jessica Jones is here leading worship, as you guys all saw. So please welcome her after the service. Thanks for being here this morning, Jessica, and leading us. Second thing is, this coming weekend, it's time for flower planting again. Flower planting along Marf Monroe. And there are two options, two ways that you can get involved if you'd like to get your hands dirty, and maybe your knees too. On Friday afternoon, over the lunch hour, a number of people from the business association from the neighborhood are going to be planting flowers from noon till 1. You are able to come down and join us there. There's a sign up in the back. Or if it works on Sunday after we go to Rico's on the first Sunday of the month to have lunch, the deli right down the block here, we'll plant whatever flowers remain. I don't know how many are going to remain on Sunday, but if you're able to plant flowers on Sunday, that would be great too. Sign up in the back. That'd be great. All right. The third one is this. For those of you who are visiting, have you ever seen this book before? This book is called Seeking God's Face. We've been using this book here at Monroe this year as a guide, both personally and corporately, as a community of faith. Inside the book are a series of prayers and scripture readings, one for each day, a couple for each day, actually. Follows the church calendar year. We are in the season of Eastertide, the season of Easter, where we're allowing the freedom of Christ's resurrection to sink, hopefully, deep within our hearts and souls. Allowing the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ to sink way down deep into our hearts and our souls. Right. So this passage that we're going to look at today is the passage for the day in the Seeking God's Face, John 14. John 14, and it begins at verse 23. If you're using one of the Bibles on the table, that's page 764. I'll pray a moment and then we'll read it together. Father in heaven, we come before you. As we turn our attention to your word to us this morning, and as we do, we call upon your Spirit, your Holy Spirit of God, to be at work in our midst. Speak to us through the words that we read, through the words that we hear. Speak to us through your Spirit. Use your word to encourage us, Lord. Use your word to strengthen us. Use your word to convict us, to change us, to make us new. We pray these things in Jesus, our Savior's name. Everyone said, amen. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 23. Jesus replied, he says, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." And verse 27 again, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." So tell me this, people of God, have any of you been afraid lately? Have any of you been afraid any time not too long ago? Maybe you had to walk down a long, dark, unfamiliar hallway all by yourself. Maybe you woke up in the middle of the night and found a spider crawling on your arm. Maybe you have a son or a daughter who is beginning a driver's education in a few weeks. Maybe you had to stand in front of a group of people and give a speech or a sermon recently. Maybe you had to visit Spectrum Health or Metro to have a surgical procedure done. Maybe some of you have lost your job recently and are looking for new work. When we're afraid, we know it and we feel it, don't we? Fear begins with some sort of trigger or stimulus, which sets the chemicals in our brain a-working. And these chemicals cause our hearts to start racing. And our palms get a little sweaty, and our forehead starts to get a little sweaty too, doesn't it? And then our breathing picks up its pace. And our muscles in our knees, they start to maybe quiver a little bit and start to shake. Our stomachs start to churn, and we may get a knot or a pit, right? The pit of our stomach begins to get all tied up. And very soon, after all these things are happening, and sometimes quite quickly, don't they? It all just, it comes on all at once. We're trying to figure out which is the better deal right now. Which is the better deal in this situation? To stay and fight or to run away? To stay put and to ride it out, or to run away as far and as fast as we possibly can. Fight or flight. In our text for today, Jesus talks to us about fear. He says to his disciples, and he says to you and me, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do not be afraid. For those of you who are Bible readers, you know that that phrase, do not be afraid, is a common one, isn't it? During this men's breakfast this week, this came up, in fact, of just how often. Some people say it's 365 times that it occurs in the Scriptures. Do not be afraid. One for each day. One for each day of the year. Because you and I are often afraid, aren't we? We're often afraid. When God shows up, when angels show up, what's the thing that they often say? Do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The word for troubled here is means to put into motion, to agitate back and forth, to shake to and fro. It means to get all stirred up inside. When I hear that word troubled, I think of my washing machine down in the basement. Turn the dial, the water starts coming in, you put the detergent in, you put the clothes in, and then what happens? Right? That agitator just starts going and those clothes get turned upside down and all around. Round and round and round they go. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be agitated. Do not be afraid. Do not live in dread. Do not live in paralyzing fear because of the possible consequences. Should I give this speech in class or should I take an F? Which is the better one to do? Right? What should I do here? Should I do this or should I do that? And if I do that, then what might happen over there? And then what might be the cause of that? Consequences, 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 consequences. Jesus says, do not let your insides get all stirred up. And do not live in dread of the possible consequences. Why? Why does He say this to us? Why does He say to us again and again and again, in fact, do not be afraid? I'd like to just look at three reasons this morning. Three reasons in our text for today of why Jesus says we shouldn't be agitated, we shouldn't be afraid, we shouldn't be troubled. The first is this. That Jesus gives us peace. My peace I leave with you, He says. My peace I give to you. And what is the peace that Jesus is talking about here? This peace of His, my peace. It's the tranquil state of the soul. It's the tranquil state of the soul that comes when you are assured of salvation. So that no matter what circumstances you may find yourself in, there's peace within your soul. It's a wholeness. Right? The peace that He's talking about is a wholeness. It's a wholeness of mind, it's a wholeness of body, it's a wholeness of spirit and soul that comes on account of Jesus' death and resurrection. On account of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And on account of the freedom that you and I have because He has saved us from our sin. He has saved us from all those things that would cause us to be afraid, that would trouble us, that would agitate us. Jesus is talking about the peace that is ours because of His victory over sin and death. And Jesus reminds us here that this peace, the peace that He offers, is different than anything else this world is able to offer. Any other peace that the world may try and offer. The peace that Jesus gives is not like the peace that the world gives. The peace that the things of this world offer is partial peace. The peace that Jesus gives is a complete one. It's a holistic one. Jesus died for how many sins? He died for all sins. Jesus died for how many people? Jesus died for all people. The things in this world, they do give peace. I'm well aware of that, and you are too. Right? When there's a thunderstorm, right, the roof over our head brings peace, doesn't it? If you're driving an old clunky car and you get a new car that works and does what it's supposed to, you have peace going down the road. You're not wondering, is it going to crack? Is it going to just stop working? When you get accepted into the college that you hope to get into, that brings peace, right? The search is over. I'm gonna land somewhere. But a new car can only bring a certain amount of peace, can't it? A roof over your head can only bring a certain amount of peace. Getting accepted into a certain college can only bring a certain amount of peace. Jesus brings peace for everything, right? For the entirety, the complete package, the holistic thing. Only He can save us completely. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid, because I give you peace. The second reason Jesus says this is He says, because I'm going to give you an advocate. In verse 26, Jesus says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. When are we most often afraid? In my life, I'm most often afraid when I'm alone or when I don't know what it is that I should do. I'm afraid when I am alone, when I have a decision to make, I have a choice to make, and I don't know which way to go. Should I do this or should I do that? Should I go here or should I go there? Should I respond in this way or should I respond in that way? One of my seminary professors talked about Optionsville. We live in Optionsville, don't we? We have choices to make. And oftentimes, fear creeps in because I don't know which choice to make. The good news for you and me is that Jesus says He's going to send an advocate, one who can help with both of these things. Jesus says He's going to send His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to be with you and to be in you. And if the Spirit of God is in me, is with me, am I alone? No. Even if there's an absence of other human people, the Spirit of the Lord is there. The Spirit of the Lord is with me. And what does the Spirit do, Jesus says? He says He reminds us and He teaches us. He reminds us and He teaches us. When I don't know what to do, Jesus says, depend upon your advocate. Depend upon the Spirit that is with you. Allow Him to teach you and to remind you. When you're agitated, when you're troubled, when you're afraid, call upon my Spirit. And He will remind you. And He will teach you. Second reason Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid, is because you and I, we have an advocate, the Spirit of God who is with us. The third reason Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid, is because He has ascended into heaven. In verse 28, He says this. He says, I am going away. And I often wondered, why did he go away? Wouldn't it be better if he would stay here? Isn't it better to be closer? To be right here, right now, with us here? It's coming Thursday. We're going to be celebrating Ascension Day. It's Ascension Day in the church calendar year. And on Ascension Day, we celebrate and remember that Jesus ascended from earth into heaven. When you do your readings and seeking God's face, we'll read that story of where Jesus ascended into heaven. And where is Jesus now? He's in heaven and sitting where? At the right hand of God the Father. And what do you know about the right hand man? We have that phrase, he's my right hand man. If someone is someone's right hand man, what do they have? They have the power and they have the authority of the person in charge. How does Jesus going away bring peace? Jesus going away brings peace because he is now sitting in a position of authority. Paul in his letter to Colossians says this. He says, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is right now in a position of authority. And in that position, he's also advocating on our behalf. He's interceding before God the Father for you and for me. 1 John 2 verse 1 says, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. And who is that one? It's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Paul in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 8, says Jesus is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. When you are afraid, when you are troubled, the good news for you and for me is that we can go to one who has authority. We can go to one who is interceding on our behalf. I don't know what to do. This is a tough situation. I wish these circumstances would change. The good news for us is that they can. The good news for us is that we can go to one who has the power and the authority to do something about it. We can go to one who is interceding on our behalf. Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. To end our time together, we're going to have the opportunity to reflect on this invitation, to reflect on this command from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Tell me, where is your heart troubled and agitated or stirred up this morning? Where is your heart afraid? Where is it paralyzed because of the possible consequences, the what ifs? Where do you need the peace of Jesus Christ? Where do you need the power and the direction of the Holy Spirit? Where do you need the authority of the risen Christ to enter in? The worship team is going to come forward at this time. And they're going to be starting to play a series of songs. And as they play, we're going to have an opportunity to reflect on any trouble or agitation or fear that is within our hearts. And we're going to have an opportunity to talk about that and bring that to the throne of God, to bring it to Jesus who is sitting in a position of authority. We're going to have an opportunity to inquire of the Holy Spirit of God, which is with us right now, to teach us and to encourage us and to remind us. And we're going to have an opportunity to replace our agitation, our fear with the peace of God. Easter is about freedom. It's about freedom from fear. Right? It's about freedom from anxiety. It's about freedom from agitation. Jesus came that we might have life. That we might have peace. Right? That we might have life to the full. We're going to sing an invitation song to begin. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And then the worship team is going to sing a new song. And as they do, I invite you to acknowledge any fear or agitation in your heart. And as they sing, talk with your God about that. Talk with the Spirit. Talk with Jesus about that. If you would like someone to pray with you during that time, Sid and Kate are going to be standing over here, and Dave and Sharon Wiersum are going to be over here. This is an opportunity to acknowledge the fear, to acknowledge the trouble in our hearts, and to allow peace to come in. So let's sing this invitation for the Spirit of God to be at work among us, and then let's turn our hearts, our minds to our hearts, and allow His peace to enter in. Let's sing together.